Morning, everyone. If you find your seats, we'll begin the show. Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. If I could have your indulgence, Chair Fine is testifying in another committee, and the Vice Chair is not in session today with an excused absence. So I am your third choice chairperson. And we're going to start on time, end on time, and come in under budget. If everyone here, both on this side and that side, will turn off all of your noise-making devices, we won't have to have the sergeant remove you. How about that? Thank you for being here today. We've got several bills that we will begin. And Sabrina, if you would call the roll, tell us if we have a quorum, please.
Chair Fine. Chair Clemens?
Here.
Representatives Person Maleka, she's excused. Representative Salzman?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Amnesty?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Baker?
Here.
Cross?
Here.
Dunkley?
Here.
Edmonds?
Here.
Gant?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Coster?
Here.
Masula? Plankin?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
Snyder?
Here.
Chabruzzi?
Here.
Woodson?
Yeah.
Yurkowski?
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. We will begin this morning with PCS for HB 341, and that has to do with 9/11 public safety telecommunications certificates by Representative Amnesty. And are you here? Yes, you are. You're going to present from your desk? Great. Members, you may recall, we just heard this bill last Friday, but we discovered, we're only human, we discovered a technical procedural problem, and it required us to agenda the bill once again. So we have put forward today a proposed committee substitute, but I want to guarantee, assure each and every person here that the content of this PCS is exactly the same as the content you voted on last week. We're merely correcting a procedural challenge. So let's move quickly through this bill and get on to the other bills that we have scheduled. So Representative, you're recognized to explain your bill once again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, House Bill 341, is to increase the workforce potential of our 911 telecommunicators certification. As Mr. Chair mentioned, there was a title variation for such. We're presenting it once more before this committee. Again, this is the same exact bill that was presented last week, and it was passed unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, questions? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions. Are there any amendments? No amendments. Public testimony. Members of the public would like to get another bite at the apple for this bill. There's no cards. Anyone going three times? All right. Debate. Members, we're open for debate. This is not a rerun, but you're welcome to debate again. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to wave to close.
Wave to close, Mr. Chair.
All right,
Chair.
Sabrina, please call the roll on PCS for HB 341.
Representatives Persons Maleka? Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Chair Clemens?
Yes.
Representatives Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula? Plankin?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Chabruzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
18 yays and zero nays.
Members, by your vote, please show that this passes. Next up, CS for HB 757, contracts entered into by the Department of Children and Families by Chair Altman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Chair Altman, you're recognized to explain your bill.
House Bill 757 is another step in the right direction as we continue to improve our child welfare system. This bill reduces the time a child is in state care in cases where the parent's rights are terminated by the court. This will maximize the use of concurrent case planning, minimize the time to complete preliminary and final adoptive home studies, streamline data entry into the statewide child welfare information system, and reduce time to permanency. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Chair Altman, having explained his bill, members, questions of the sponsor. Are there any members who have questions that have finished their coffee that would like to question? Seeing no questions, are there any amendments? No amendments. Public testimony. We have one from Mr. Barney Bishop from Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Waves in support. Barney, are you here? He's out having coffee somewhere. All right. No other member of the public like to speak? Seeing none. Members, we're in debate. We're in debate. Would you like to debate? Anybody awake this morning? All right. Seeing no debate. Representative Allman.
I wave close.
And he waves close. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 757.
Representative Persons Mullica. Excuse. Representative Salzman.
Yes.
Skidmore. Amnesty.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Chair Clemens.
Yes.
Representatives Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Grant.
Yes.
Coster.
Masula. Yes.
Excused. Representatives Plankin.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Trabuzzi.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yarkowski.
Yes.
Chair Fine. 17 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, please signify that we will pass this favorably. Next up, HB 1087, Child Support by Rep. Caruso.
Thank you.
Rep. Caruso, welcome. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Good morning, Chair Clemens and Committee Whip Salzman, Ranking Member Skidmore, for allowing me to present HB 1087, Child Support. In Florida, families receive child support services through legal actions taken by private attorneys, pro se actions, and child support program administered by the Department of Revenue. As Florida's Title IV-D agency, the Department of Revenue collects and enforces child support. This bill makes several changes to the child support program. Federal law prohibits state child support guidelines from treating involuntary incarceration as voluntary unemployment when establishing or modifying child support. Florida statutes, however, include two exceptions to this federal law. This bill removes the two exceptions from Florida law to comply with federal requirements for state child support guidelines. This compliance allows Florida to be eligible to receive federal 4D matching funds and performance-based federal incentive payments. Last year, the child support program received approximately $174 million in federal matching funds and $42 million in federal performance-based incentives. Additionally, by removing these exceptions, it keeps Floridians from being assessed federal penalties. The second provision provides department flexibility in establishing paternity through administrative means rather than through judicial proceedings when a non-parent giver, like a grandmom, attests to the paternity of the child and the alleged father agrees to undergo genetic testing. The third provision allows the department to defer payment agreements for delinquent child support when a non-custodial parent shows that they are participating in job training. The fourth provision makes technical changes to update the statutes outlining methods for collecting, retaining, and distributing clerk fees. And the final provision provides clear authority for clerks of the court to credit out-of-state child support payments in their respective child support depositories. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Chair Caruso, having explained his bill, members, any questions of the sponsor? Any questions of the sponsor? We're on HB 1087. Seeing no questions of the sponsor, is there any public testimony? We have several cards. Mr. Barney Bishop waves in support from Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Alec Yarger waves in support. And I believe that's all. Any other member of the public like to speak to this bill? Seeing no other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Caruso, for bringing this. It's an important bill. We've talked about it. Child support's something that I happen to know a little bit about, but it is it's a pretty complex situation when we're trying to either get child support, enforce child support, understand the ledgers of what's been paid and what hasn't been paid, and out of state. I mean, so everything that you're doing to try to help at least streamline some of that is very much appreciated for us family law practitioners who have to deal with the child support system on the regular, because it's pretty complex even for us lawyers. So I can't imagine what the pro se folks go through in dealing with child support. And also, though I'm not super thrilled with the federal policy that we have to comply with, I'm glad that we are taking the steps necessary to comply so we don't lose that Title IV funding. So thank you for bringing this important bill.
Thank you, Representative Coster. Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Caruso, just wanted to thank you for this bill, particularly making sure that we're not forfeiting federal funding by failing to update our regulations.
Any other members would like to debate? Any other members? Seeing no debate, Representative Caruso, you're recognized to wave close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll wave.
Representative Caruso, waving close on HB 1087. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Representatives Persons, Mullica, Salzman.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Amnesty.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Chair Clemens.
Yes.
Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Grant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masula. Plankin.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Trabuzzi.
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 18 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. By the show of your vote, we'll pass this favorably. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Next up, Representative Botana, House Bill 227, Lee Memorial Health System. Representative Botana, you're recognized to explain this bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for having this good bill up. This is a local bill. This bill is in relation to Lee Health Systems in Lee County. This bill creates a pathway for the opportunity, if voted upon the board, to convert to a public-private non-for-profit. Sir, that is the bill.
Right, Representative Baton, having explained this bill, members, are there questions on HB 227, Lee County Lee Memorial Health System? Any questions of the sponsor? You're recognized, Representative Woodson, for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Baton, how many times are we all going to see this bill?
You're recognized.
That is a great question. I hope this is the last year.
All right. Any other member questions? All right. No amendments. Public testimony on this bill. We do have Vice President of Government Relations for Lee Health. He is a proponent of this bill. Would you like to speak, sir? All right. You drove all the way from Fort Myers. We want to grant you the opportunity to just reap laurels on Representative Botana.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And that's exactly why I'm up here, just to thank the bill sponsor for the great work and effort and the continued effort on this legislation. There are just one or two things I'd like to explicitly say. We had the opportunity to meet with most of your offices, and we're grateful for that time. Just to say that there are provisions in this bill that, in permissive conversion, that make it separate and apart from sale or lease of public health systems, which is Chapter 155-40 of Florida statute. So I want to make that clear distinction, and I know it's in the staff analysis, so I just want to highlight the great work of this separate process. Say thank you very much to this committee for hearing us and for hearing Representative Botana, and I'm grateful for you all. Thank you.
Sir, are you a lawyer?
No, sir.
All right. Well, you could have fooled me. I was going to congratulate you because your oral arguments were just spot on. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
You should have been a lawyer. We need some good ones. There's no other members of the public that would like to testify? Okay, then we will move in. Oh. You have a card prepared?
I filed one electronically, but if I'll make sure that it...
Yep, if the sergeant will help you make sure.
Thank you,
just for your
Chair.
Record. State your name, please.
Yes, sir. Steve Assini on behalf of HCA, and we appreciate the opportunity to share some thoughts with you about the bill. And first, I want to say thank you to Representative Botana. He's been very open to meet with us and hear our concerns. And as you just heard from Lee's representative, this bill has an exclusive method of evaluating what's in the best interest of the system and the citizens of Lee County, and that is to consider conversion. What we would like to see, and he referenced the sale or lease of the public hospital provisions in 155-40, and this bill requires a consultant to make an evaluation only with respect to whether it's in the best interest of the citizens of Lee County to convert to a not-for-profit. We'd like to see it amended to make that evaluation. They're going to hire a consultant who's an expert in this field, and we think in addition to considering whether the hospital system should be converted to a not-for-profit, there should be an evaluation of whether the sale or lease of the assets of the public system is in the best interest of the citizens. And I think we, you know, that is, I think, these are among the most valuable assets that a county has, a public health system. And to only look at one option, which is conversion, we think is a mistake. And if you're going to have a process where you hire an independent consultant to go with expertise in this area to evaluate the system, they ought to be looking at the full range of options. And so hopefully we can work with Representative Botana going forward and with you to find a solution that we think will be in the best interest of the citizens of Lee.
So for the record, you're an opponent, or you're...
We oppose the bill as in the form that it's in, but hopefully we can get to a place where we support it.
Just want to get that on the record.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? All right. We'll close public testimony. A debate from the members. Debate from the members. We're on HB 2. Leader Grant.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative Botana, for being here and presenting the bill and for wearing such a bright tie on such a gloomy day so early in the morning. Just real briefly, members, if we amend this bill, it's a local bill, it kills it. So make no mistake that it's too late to do that. You don't want to hear this bill again. We passed a similar bill to this last year. Let's get on with it. Let's get this thing done. The citizens of Lee County did not vote to establish the special district that Lee Healthcare is. We did that in the legislature. It's our responsibility to pass the bills that convert this hospital to something that will allow them to expand beyond the borders of Lee County, and that's what this is all about. So I urge you all to vote for this bill. It is a good bill. It's going to, I think, improve health care in Southwest Florida, which is critical to me. That's where I live. So I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Leader Grant. Other members? Representative Woodson, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Botano, usually I don't interfere with local bill, and you know that. So I commend your tenacity for keeping up and stay the course to make sure that you get the bill to the finish line. And I hope all my colleagues can support you on getting it done. So I support you on it.
That sounds like a close for Rep. Botano. any other member like to debate on this bill? Any other member? All right, seeing no further debate. Representative Botana waves his close. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 227.
Representatives Persons Mullica, Salzman.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Amnesty.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Chair Clemens.
Yes.
Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Grant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masula. Plankin.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Tribuzzi.
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Showed the bill favorably, reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, Representative Black, CS for HB 483, blood clot and pulmonary embolism policy, sir. Good morning. You're recognized to explain this good bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members. House Bill 483 is titled the Emily Adkins Blood Clot Prevention Act. This legislation seeks to create a policy work group to understand how blood clots and pulmonary embolisms are affecting the lives of everyday Floridians. Emily Adkins was a former page and messenger in this house, and she was the daughter of former State Representative Janet Adkins and Doug Adkins, her father, who served in this chamber from 2008 to 2016. They are each with us today. Emily died tragically on October 21st, 2022, from a massive pulmonary embolism that stemmed from a blood clot associated with a simple ankle fracture. She was 23 years old. She worked in her father's healthcare facility. This policy working group will bring together experts, providers, advocates to facilitate a conversation around how we as a state can improve our collective response to the challenges that Floridians face associated with blood clots and pulmonary embolisms. Specifically, the bill will allow the work group to consider recommendations around standard of care guidelines, identification in aggregate of how many Floridians are affected, identification of how data is collected, identify emerging treatments and therapies, develop a recommendation for a risk surveillance system to help healthcare providers, develop policy recommendations that target patients at high risk, develop policy recommendations related to providing notices to patients and their families. Members, Mr. Chairman, that is the bill, and I ask the members for their favorable support.
Thank you for that bill explanation. Members, questions? Questions of the sponsor on the bill? Questions of the sponsor on the bill? Public testimony, we have several. Doug, would you come up? Would you want to come up first? How do you prefer? Janet, would you want to come up first? Representative Akins, you're recognized.
Thank you. First, let me say thank you for your service to Florida. Less than 24 hours after our 23-year-old daughter died, we were on the phone with the medical examiner from Jacksonville, and he shared with us that he encouraged us to find out her cause of death. He told us about a 16-year-old young man who had broken his foot playing football and weeks later died of a pulmonary embolism, 16 years old. For our family, Emily was 23, and she died 5 weeks after fracturing her ankle. I ask for your support so that other Floridians can be saved. I ask that you co-sponsor this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Doug, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and members, thank you for your time today. My name is Doug Adkins, and I'd like to publicly thank my representative, Dean Black, for leading on this issue. This is a kitchen table issue that is affecting Floridians all across this state. Without question, I've been in healthcare 35 years. I had no clue I should be setting up pulmonary embolism blood clot prevention protocols within my two facilities. I can tell you that's now happened, okay? I can tell you without a question. We now test for factor V Leiden. If you have not been tested for factor V Leiden, you should do so. You should have your family tested so you know categorically, do you have a blood clotting disorder? You should also pay attention to the risk factors. If those risk factors, if you're overweight, if you've had a recent surgery, if you've been immobilized for 4 weeks, you need to pay attention. There's a whole nother level of surveillance that should be happening with your care. Hands down, that should be happening. So from my perspective, you know, Emily was a precious child. And every one of you are wonderful parents. You all have families that I know that you're away from and having to sacrifice time. And every one of us loves our kids without question. They're our legacy. And so from my perspective, as you start to look and weigh what is in the best interest of all Floridians. And I can tell you, as Janet and I have walked this walk, we have come in contact with so many families, so many people who are being affected by pulmonary embolism and blood clotting disorders, including members of this chamber. And so what I do know, what I learned this week was Christina DeSantis, who is the younger sister of our great governor, tragically perished from a pulmonary embolism associated with a blood clot. So I understand the anguish that the DeSantis family faces. I understand. And this is so preventable. This is one of the most preventable conditions out there. These are things that we can stop. And I believe through this process, we can start to, you know, Florida can start to lead the nation as to this is how we get control of it. We won't eliminate all of it, but if we can prevent one other family, just one family, it's worth the effort. Thank you.
You're recognized. Representative Snyder, for a question.
Thank you for the indulgence, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, sir, for just the impactful testimony, both of you, and for bringing this forward. Just a quick question. I'd never heard the Factor 5 Leiden. You mentioned that
yes, sir.
The test. Could you just talk a little bit about that test, how to get it, and just help enlighten us so we could take that back home?
You're
right. Factor 5 Leiden is a molecular blood test, pretty simple to get. Just need to have your healthcare provider order it up. It examines whether or not you're at risk of a blood clotting disorder. I can tell you it is critical. If you are positive for Factor 5 Leiden, you need to pay attention. Your healthcare provider needs to know it. Anybody coming in contact with your health needs to know this. So I believe that it's critically important. I think I would encourage everybody to reach out. What we've done at my facility is on our face sheet that goes to the emergency room, it says very clearly, you're positive or negative for Factor 5. So the healthcare provider in the ER will know instantly, yes, I need to be taking precautionary measures with this patient, particularly in light of what else may be happening in their health and the other risk factors.
Representative Snyder for follow-up.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, and fantastic information. Just quickly, do you know what the cost of that is? I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way, perhaps if that is a barrier to some folks, maybe that's something that we could address at a later time. Do you happen to know what that cost is?
You're right. Don't know the exact cost. What I do know is that the insurance carriers cover it. Medicare covers it. Medicaid covers it. If it's ordered up as a medically necessary test because of either family history, and again, you need to look at family history. All of those factors play a role. I can tell you, we are very aggressive. We do, if you've had a broken bone at my facility, we're now going to do an ultrasound at week 3 and week 6. And you say, well, why are you going to do that? Well, the blood clot sets up 4 to 6 weeks. And we need to make sure we're chasing the potential blood clot risk before it chases you. And so in our facility, we've implemented that. Healthcare providers know, look, we're going to be very aggressive at hunting the blood clot associated perhaps with your health. And by the way, for women, for our young ladies, the number one killer for people who are pregnant or had delivered a baby, one of the top killers is a blood clot. If you've had cancer, number one killer, blood clot. I didn't know that. I've been doing this 35 years. I had no clue that those were the top killers of patients with cancer. And we've had a couple members of my family recently had babies, and I can tell you, obviously, that's a major concern of mine, and we're monitoring that as well.
One more question. Representative Edmonds has a question or series.
Thank you, Chair Clemens. Thank you, Representative Black, for this great bill. I did just want to recognize the mother who came up and spoke, and I just want to say thank you so much for your strength and your courage to come up and share your pain with us, and hopefully my colleagues will vote up for this bill. To the doctor, I did want to know, have you seen an increase?
I'm just the father.
Oh, excuse me.
The father.
Okay, then.
Representative Woodson has a question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Chair. Thank you so much, sir, and I appreciate your courage and your wife coming and talk to us about this important issue. And I look forward to all of us supporting you, but my question to you, is there a difference between the D-dimer test and the one that you mentioned?
Yes, D-dimer is different, and that is a recommended test as well, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, Mr. Chair, but that is a recommended test as well. The D-dimer, the ultrasound, there is something called a Hohmann signal. It's a calf squeeze on the back of your calf. If you simply squeeze that, and if you've got pain in the back of that calf, you need to get to the ER immediately because your chances of a blood clot is very, very high. You got pain in your legs, you got pain happening down there, just pay attention, because if you've got a family history of blood clots, I can tell you that train is coming for you, and this is preventable. This is something we can stop. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. You've been so gracious, and we appreciate the members of this committee, and we ask for your favorable support of Representative Black's bill.
Other public testimony, Mr. Thomas Parker waves in support. Thank you, sir. Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak to this bill? If not, we will move into debate. Members, we are in debate on CS for HB 483, Blood Clots and Pulmonary Embolism Policy Work Group. Anyone? Okay, Representative Black, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Snyder, for your very thoughtful question about Factor V. I haven't shared this with anyone, but this matter is personal to me and my family also. My oldest daughter, Savannah Black, I have nearly lost her twice to blood clots. She was finally tested and found positive for Factor V. Members, there are, I think, 20 of you seated there. Look to the person on your right, the person on your left, the person in front of you. While this meeting is scheduled, 15 people will die, an average of one person every 6 minutes. It is as though each of those people you just looked at disappeared forever. Everyone watches what we do in Florida. The tragedy here is that no one is actually systematically looking at this data, thinking about it, and coming up with ways to prevent what are very preventable tragedies. We're going to lead in this area. By your vote today, you will save lives. God uses everything for His glory. By your vote today, let Him be glorified. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Black, having closed on his bill, I've got a couple comments. Thank you, sir, for bringing this good bill. To the parents, Doug and Janet, you are the epitome of public servants. Your history has proven to not only the residents of Northeast Florida, but the entire state, that you put public service above everything else. As a parent, I think the worst nightmare that could happen would be to lose a child. And I know that good can come out of tragedy. You're both leaders, and you're putting that tragedy for good for others so that they don't experience the same hurt. Grief, it's public that grief is real, and it's a very painful price that we pay for love. And I know that you've missed her for two birthdays and two Christmases, and it's been 519 days since you've held her. And each and every day, that pain will still be there. But to know that through this bill and through the work group, it we'll try to do as much as we can in the Florida legislature to lead the country to make sure that no other parents are experiencing this type of pain. Sabrina, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Person Mullica, Salzman. Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Chair Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Masula? Plankin?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tribuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 18 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chair.
By your unanimous vote, please show this bill reported favorably. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up, Representative Robinson, Certified Nursing Assistants, CS for HB 351. Sir, you're recognized to explain your good bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know quite how to follow the last bill, but you asked the question a few minutes ago if you're a lawyer. I am a lawyer. And I sense some trepidation here a little bit. Don't worry, what I'm reading on this script I've already read before, so don't worry about that. Today I have House Bill 351 related to certified nursing assistants. This bill creates a more specialized position of qualified medical aide. Under HB 351, CNAs with at least 1 year of experience will become eligible to become qualified medication aides after undergoing additional training and demonstrating competencies to dispense routine medications under the direct supervision of an RN. I recently had the opportunity to visit a nursing center near my district and see firsthand how medications are administered by the nursing staff, including the safety measures that are put in place. I spent a good amount of time talking with the nurses to understand just how adding a qualified medication aide to their care team would enhance the important work for these nurses and the care they're providing to the residents. This bill would allow RNs to concentrate on higher level care by delegating the routine administration. It would give nurses more time to focus on assessing the residents and their medical conditions, leading to more successful treatment outcomes and fewer hospitalizations. This bill also empowers certified nursing assistants with a pathway to earn higher wages and broaden their career opportunities within nursing. This is another important step forward in addressing the workforce challenges in our healthcare system. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robinson, having explained his bill, members, any questions of the sponsor? Anybody questioning the sponsor? You did a really good job, sir. No questions. There's no amendments, public testimony. We do have a few. Jennifer Lawrence, she is a proponent of the bill. You'd like to speak? Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, members of the committee. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jennifer Lawrence. I'm the vice chair of the Senior Clinicians Committee for Florida Healthcare Association. I'm also the chief nursing officer for Aston Health. We operate 29 nursing facilities here in our great state of Florida. I've spent more than 30 years working in long-term care, and I am currently a registered nurse, but I did start my career as a certified nursing assistant and worked my way up the career ladder to where I am now in the senior position that I hold today. The residents in our centers are frailer. We need more advanced nursing skills, and we need our nurses being, at the bedside. You know, they're asked to do more and more and care for sicker residents every day, and this bill will allow them to spend that one-on-one time with them at the bedside, provide that extra assessment, that care from that skilled, licensed individual that you want caring for your loved ones in our centers. This will allow our CNAs to have a step in their career ladder for themselves as well, to become qualified medication aides, potentially earn higher wages, and have a little bit more motivation to become nurses themselves. That's what we would love to see. We are in desperate need, in the state of Florida for staffing. We struggle with it all the time, and this would be a wonderful assistance, if you will, to our clinical teams to have this extra step, this extra layer, an added bit of assistance in our facilities every day. It has many, many benefits, this bill does, for both our residents, the care they're going to receive, the outcomes, and for our nurses and CNAs who work the floor every single day. I want to thank Representative Robinson for sponsoring this bill with us, and I ask for your favorable vote for this matter. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Karen Murillo waves in support. She's with the Associate State Director of Advocacy for AARP. Bob Estalas, Florida Department of Veteran Affairs, waves in support. Any other member of the public like to address us regarding this bill? Seeing none, we'll move into debate. Members, debate on CS for HB 351. I'm sorry, Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Robinson, thank you again for answering my questions, because I talked to you about it. I also talked to Sean Pittman, who sent me the bill as well. This bill is doing a lot, because by 2035, it's expected to have a shortage of nurses of about 60,000 nurses. And by you doing that, you're creating a pathway for those CNAs to move up from a CNA to an LPN to an RN, and maybe they might want to become doctors later. So I really appreciate what you're doing and creating a pathway for them, but more so to address the shortage as well that we have in the nursing industry, giving them additional pass, and they can see themselves moving up the ladder. So thank you so much. I look forward to support you on the bill, and I appreciate your open line of communication as well, because I send you several questions on the bill. Thank you.
Members, we're in debate. Anybody else like to debate? You're recognized to close.
I'll use my close for exactly what Representative Woodson said and ask for your support.
Thank you. Representative Robinson, having closed on CS for HB 351, Sabrina, please call the roll of the members.
Representatives Persons Mullica, Salzman, Skidmore.
Yes.
Amnesty.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Chair Clemens.
Yes.
Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley. Yes. Edmonds.
Yes.
Gant. Grant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masula. Plankin.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Trabuzzi.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yakovsky.
Yes.
Chair Fine. 16 yeas, 0 nays. Mr.
Members,
Chair,
by your vote, show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up, Representative Bankston. Thank you for your patience, sir. HB 1255, West Orange Healthcare District. Sir, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, and good morning, Chair Clemens, Committee Whip Salzman, and Ranking Member Skidmore, and all the members and staff. Thank you for your service. This is a simple bill. The West Orange Healthcare District was declared inactive by the Department of Economic Opportunity on January 3rd, 2023. HB 1255 abolishes the district and transfers all assets and liabilities of the district to the Orange County Board of County Commissioners. The bill also requires the original copies of the official West Orange Healthcare District record book dated 1949 to 1989 to be deposited into the Winter Garden Heritage Museum, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Bankson, having explained his bill thoroughly. Members, questions? Any questions? We have a question from the Ranking Member Skidmore. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I just had a quick question. I understand all the assets and liabilities are shifting over to the county, but is the taxing authority, the citizens are no longer going to receive that tax, right? They won't have to continue paying, and it goes to something else.
Representative Bankson, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, you're correct. And actually, back in 2012, after 63 years of service, they actually transferred all of the assets into from $181 million into $245 million into the community. And so it's been very effective, and it's just a great way to close that. So thank you.
Other questions of the sponsor? No question of the sponsor. We're in public testimony. There are no cards. Anyone here would like to speak to this matter? Seeing no one here. Members, debate. Anybody like to debate? We're dissolving a subsection of government that's no longer active. No debate. You're recognized to close, sir.
This is a great story. It did its job, and it served the community well from rural to now a very active community. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Bankston. Having closed on HB 1255, Sabrina, please call the roll to announce the vote.
Representative Persons Mullica, Salzman, Skidmore,
yes.
Amnesty,
yes.
Anderson,
yes.
Baker,
yes.
Chair Clemens,
yes.
Cross,
yes.
Dunkley,
yes.
Edmonds,
yes.
Gant, Grant,
yes.
Coster,
yes.
Masula, Plankin,
yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show your bill reported favorably. Thank you. Next up and last up, CS for HB 655, Suicide Prevention by Reps Trabulsi and Hunshofsky. And I believe you'll be presenting from your desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I will. And good morning, members. House Bill 655, first of all, directs the name of the Commission on Mental Health and Substance Abuse to Substance Use. It directs the Commission to assess the adequacy of Florida's 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline System and other components of the state's behavioral health crisis system. It directs the Commission to analyze the current capacity of crisis response services throughout the state, evaluate and make recommendations to improve linkages between Lifeline and crisis response services, and identifies funds that can be used to support crisis response services. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Trabulsi. And I believe you have a strike all. It would be barcode 901849. Would you please explain the strike all?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes. The strike all better aligns with the Senate version by including provisions to allow a volunteer, another affiliate, first responder organizations to designate peers and to overall better support peer supports for first responders. It adds a governor-appointed representative of our state's 211 providers to the commission and adds the consideration of mental health first aid models to the purview of the commission.
Right. Any members have questions regarding the strike all from the sponsor? Any members have questions regarding the strike all? Any members have objections to accepting the strike all? No objections. We will accept the strike all. Any public testimony on the bill as amended? Any public testimony? We've got a couple. Let's see. This is all on the, let's see, Barney Bishop weighs in support. Hold on, I'm getting to you. We've got Jay Reeve, Florida Mental Health Commission. Yes, sir. You're recognized, Mr. Reeve.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jay Reeve. I'm the chair of the Florida Commission on Mental Health, and I'm speaking in strong support of Representative Trabulsi's bill. This is very extremely helpful for the commission. It extends the scope of the commission. It extends the life of the commission in order to deal with some of the larger issues that we have not so far addressed in depth. So, and we're happy to continue. And I actually want to appreciate staff's work and staff's willingness to continue to work with the commission and with me on the language in this bill. And I'll continue to make myself available for that. So that's my commentary, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here this morning.
Absolutely.
Robbie Holroyd, Florida Mental Health Advocacy Coalition, waves in support. Thank you for being here. Dennis Holroyd. Denise, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Only one cup of coffee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee. No, a City of Plantation Council member, and I'm here. It's a very strong bill, and I'm here in strong support, but I want to say that City of Plantation is home to 96,000 residents and the largest volunteer firefighting organization in the state of Florida. We're a combined department. We have a paid rescue division, and I really want to thank Rep. Tobolsky and Hunchovsky for the amendment that included our volunteer firefighters. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilwoman, for coming up here to testify. Any other public testimony on this bill? Any other public? Debate. Members, debate. No debate. All right. Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized to close on this good bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, when someone is in crisis, they need three things. They need someone to call, someone to respond, and somewhere to go. And this bill will help ensure all three. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Tribolsi, having closed on CS for HB 655, Sabrina, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Representatives Persons Mullica, Salzman, Skidmore.
Yes.
Amnesty.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Chair Clemens.
Yes.
Representatives Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds. Yes. Gantt. Grant. Yes. Coster.
Yes.
Masula. Plankin.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Tribuzzi.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yurkowski.
Yes.
Chair Fine. 16 yeas and 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, please report CS for HB 655 will be reported favorably as amended. Seeing no further business to come before the committee today, Representative Cross moves that we rise. We are stand adjourned. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Stop the clock. Chair made an error. Representative Woodson's been waiting patiently to recognize a very important person that's here today from her district. Representative Woodson, you have the entire floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I did not know if she was going to speak on the bill, but I would like to take a few seconds to acknowledge, to recognize a good friend of mine, a true public servant at heart, who is here from the City of Plantation, advocating for her district, a council member, Denise Holland. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.